members of the public in our gallery and officers. Declare the meeting open at 9:31. And I'd just like to start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet here this morning. And I'd like to pay respect to their elders, past, present, emerging, on your behalf. And of course, extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present here. Just a quick run through of the public conduct at meetings, defined by Section 32 of our standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recordings or take any photographs. They must remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with other persons present. To be suitably dressed. And I ask you to please turn all your mobile devices to silent. And if you need to take a call, could you please leave the chambers. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such notice, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as the chairperson decides, and that may include future meetings. Councillors, there's no leave of absence this morning, but I do require a mover and a seconder. If I could, that permission be granted for Councillor Hughes to take part in the special budget meeting by teleconference. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Just a quick reminder, councillors, in regards to declaration of interest. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities in relation to a council's material, personal interest and conflict of interest at a meeting. Full details are in Division 5A of the Local Government Act 2009, and there's an appendix to the running sheet up here. Details of these responsibilities are also in your agenda, and I do remind you today that today is a budget meeting and therefore considered to be general business. Well, it's with great pleasure that I present to you the budget for 2018-19, and the magnitude of managing the expectations and requirements of a city as diverse as ours is never more evident than during Council's budget considerations. Satisfying the needs of our city is always a challenge, especially when our city is at the mercy of substantial cost increases and many decisions that are out of our control. But it is a challenge that every councillor here takes seriously, and one that I know we're all up to. So in framing the 2018-19 budget, I can assure residents that every councillor in these chambers worked very hard to put forward their case and balance the needs of our residents with the needs of keeping our costs as low as possible. The result today is a $289 million budget, which is affordable, achievable, and in the best interests of our city. The budget delivers an average Redland City Council rates and charges rise of 3.99% for residential 1A owner occupied properties, with a property value of $241,305, which excludes state government charges. It does so while maintaining Council's low debt status and delivering a $66.9 million capital works program, which focuses on the renewal of vital community infrastructure such as roads and our parks. In keeping the average residential rate rise as low as possible, Council had to strike a balance between maintaining a high level of service to residents, prioritising projects and ensuring we did not compromise our enviable financial position. And we had to do this while facing external cost pressures. These pressures mean more and more councils have to do more with less. And this year is definitely no exception. It is worth noting that of our total cash funding, less than 14% comes in the forms of grants, subsidies and contributions from other sources, such as levels of government. Again this year, we've had to accommodate continued hefty increases in state government's bulk water charges, which this year will see a 72 cents a week, or nearly $37.40 a year increase based on our average 200 kilolitre consumption. At 7.3%, that is substantial by anyone's measures, and that comes on the back of similarly significant rises in the previous few years. In fact, to put it into context, consecutive hefty increases over recent years have added more than $168, or almost 49%, to the average Redlander's water bill based on our average consumption of 200 kilolitres. These are cost pressures that Council has no control over. And while we can't control state costs, We can control ours, and again this year, Council has kept our water and wastewater retail charges at 2015 levels to ease the impact on residents. This will be the fourth consecutive year we have maintained the council-controlled retail prices of water, and it's our way of trying to save our residents money at the tap. Changes to the international waste recycling landscape will also have an impact on council operations. In line with our cost recovery model for emptying residents' bins and disposing of and recycling rubbish, waste charges will rise by about 8.7%. The minimum to ensure we continue to be a regional leader in waste management practices. Meanwhile, the recent announcement by the federal government that it would sell Commonwealth land at Birkdale also has an impact. Council had been negotiating with the federal government for some time in an effort to keep this land for educational and or community uses, in line with the community's expectations, and we had no forewarning of this announcement. So with this year's budget, a portion of the environment separate charge will again be allocated to acquisition, enabling Council to have the flexibility to move quickly to acquire strategically important land for the community while allowing us to maintain the city's existing conservation land. We've also committed to the Koala Conservation Program a funding of $1.1 million to deliver on-ground research and science-based actions to protect and improve koala habitat, reduce koala deaths and improve community education around koalas. I'm also very pleased to say support for pensioners has been maintained in this year's budget with rebates of $335 per year for a full pensioner or $167.50 for a part pensioner, among the region's most generous. Meanwhile, we are implementing new strategies in a bid to find further efficiencies to insulate ratepayers as much as possible from outside cost pressures. In response to extensive citywide consultation on how the maintenance of canals and repairs to revetment walls should be funded, new differential rating categories will be introduced for Rabie Bay Canal properties. This consultation included an independent citizens advisory panel, a first for us in Redlands. As a result, the city will pay for all canal and lake maintenance, such as dredging at Rabie Bay, Aquatic Paradise and Sovereign Waters Estates, and 10% of the cost of work on revetment walls at Rabie Bay, which reflects slightly more than the proportion of revetment wall owned by Council for its public parks and its facilities. Essentially, this means Rabie Bay Canal Block residents will continue to pay for their revetment walls through the differential rate, reflecting the role revetment walls play in protecting their properties, while Council will maintain the canals and lake. And while we're on the topic of waterways, it's important to note that the 335 kilometres of coastline enjoyed by the Redlands coast also plays a very significant role in this year's budget. While offering the Redlands coast an outlook, which is the envy of most cities, our beautiful coast also presents a challenge in providing the marine public transport infrastructure needed for our residents to get around faster and safer. Important to note that local government across the country is responsible for 25% of nation's infrastructure but receives only 3% of all taxes raised in the country. Council for too long has been picking up the tab for what should be a state responsibility, and through this budget we are making representations on our residents' behalf to correct that imbalance. In May, we drew a line in the sand requesting the state government fund this public transport infrastructure as they do in most cities across the state. Asking the state to cover the costs of public transport means we can invest in the infrastructure to take our city forward, including the Wynnum Creek Priority Development Area, a major intergenerational project which will receive $3.1 million under this year's capital plan. Our 2018-19 capital program primarily focuses on renewing existing community infrastructure to ensure it remains in good shape, saving money in the long term. This $66.9 million program invests heavily in the renewal of existing roads, transport, and community infrastructure such as parks. $12 million has been set aside to reseal local roads as part of the almost $23 million allocated to mainland and island landside transport and traffic projects. As mentioned earlier, the geography of the Redlands coast with its island and canal communities brings with it significant cost pressures. So in addition to the $3.1 million investment in Wynnum Creek, this year's budget also commits $7.9 million towards the city's marine infrastructure and foreshores, including 689,000 for Victoria Point's Masters Avenue barge ramp, which services Coochie Mudlow Island. This budget also confirms December this year as the date end for the Southern Moreton Bay Islands Translink special charge, fulfilling the commitment made by Council in 2013 when the landmark decision was to bring Translink to the Southern Bay Islands. The importance of Redlanders of parks, conservation and city aesthetics are also reflected in this year's budget. It includes funding for the Wellington Point Village Green and streetscape upgrades, as well as $2.1 million for the Redlands and Digiscape Centre's expansion to cater for the growing demand. More than $4.1 million will go towards renewing playgrounds, parks and sports fields across the city. Parks in every division will get new equipment, features or amenities, underscoring our belief that they are vital to the well-being of residents and help to foster the strong sense of community that we enjoy so much here. Council will also provide $1.9 million to our libraries, the Redland Performing Arts Centre and the Redland Art Gallery for public art acquisitions. I am proud to say that we have been able to deliver this community investment while maintaining our city's enviable financial status. It positions us well to deliver the major projects that will be required in the years ahead. The 2018-19 budget allows for a small projected operating deficit of about $2.35 million, and this is a significant improvement on last year and will continue throughout the year to find efficiencies. Meanwhile, our debt remains very low, with proposed new borrowings of $2.5 million in the 2018-19 year as compared to anticipated income in the order of $319 million, something which I expect would be the envy of many other councils. We have not spent the rates of future generations, and that allows us to borrow judiciously for intergenerational projects, such as those that are vital to our city's future. The Council's pledge to let the community be our guide is very much reflected in today's budget. Our approach to differential rating for canal and lake properties, our boosting of the environment separate charge for strategic land acquisition, and our project priorities. These are all in line with what the community has told us that they want. There is no doubt in my mind that every councillor in this chamber would want some more, but this council remains intent on spending within its means, and I believe residents expect that of us. I'd like to sincerely thank my councillor colleagues for the dedication, constructive debate, and the compromises that they have made along the way. And on behalf of all of us here, the councillors, I'd like to thank our CEO, Andrew Chesterman, and his executive leadership team for their guidance and support along this journey. And of course, to our Chief Financial Officer, Deborah Corbett-Hall, and her finance team. They should be especially commended for their hard work, long weekends, long hours, and their expertise and attention to the detail that we present to you today. We know and appreciate the many hours that you have put into this budget, both here and outside of working hours, so thank you. Also, I'd like to thank the members of our community who are with us today and walk with us each and every day towards a better Redlands coast. So, councillors, on behalf of all of us, I'm proud to present this year's budget to you. Thank you. Now, councillors, in order for us to be able to speak to the highlights of your particular concerns and opportunities in the budget, I'd like to now request that we suspend standing orders so each council has a 5-minute section to speak to their items in the budget. Move Councillor Bolgheri, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. So just for the members of the public in the gallery, what we will be doing is allowing each councillor to speak to the budget and highlight the issues of concern and celebration as we have done in previous years. And I'll start with Councillor Bolgheri. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your speech. I think I'd like to start off firstly by just saying that there's been many deliberations in this room, and like every year, every decision we make hasn't been taken lightly. There's many implications in a budget, from honouring our community plan to our corporate plan and to all the policies that we have in place. It's a little bit more than just balancing your revenue and expenditure like your household budget. And of course, as the Mayor mentioned, community expectations are up the top there with that community plan. I was just going to go through some of the points here. I was going to start with 5.3, the debt policy. I'd just like to mention and thank Deb and her team for the work that they do on finance and with this policy, as they've actually changed the timing of our repayments to save us money. It might only be a little thing, but it's all the, as my grandmother said, take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. So thank you, Deb, for that. I'll then go on to 5.4, the categorisation of land for differential rating. And I'd actually like ask to John Oberhart to explain this, because there were three of us here when this was introduced previously and we went back to a levy. So I'd like to ask John for clarification on why we're going that way again, please.
John?
Thank you, Councillor Bolgari. Through you, Madam Mayor. A couple of points to make on the differential rating for the revetment walls at Raby Bay. Running concurrently to our budget process this year, we were undertaking a number of streams of community consultation. And through all of those consultations, the residents of Raby Bay who had access to provide information to us were of the view that they would prefer council to maintain its involvement in the repair and maintenance of those revetment walls and to manage and coordinate that work. Given that was their desire, we went away and had a look at what was the most efficient and contemporary way for us to still be involved. We came up with obviously a contribution split, which was 90-10, and as the Mayor has outlined, that's predominantly based on level of ownership of those revetment walls. So whilst they want us to manage the process, we will. We then need to contribute our fair share, and we own almost 9%. We're contributing 10%, so that's a pretty fair outcome. With this type of work, it doesn't sit neatly within any particular financial year, so there'll always be changes to that program. And in order to respond to the changes and manage that program, we were of the view, the administration, that the most efficient and contemporary way to do that was through a differential general rate, which is in line with pretty much all the rest of our rating policies in council. We understand that there are issues with this for and against, but obviously we are giving an undertaking as well that we will keep this money separately accounted for in a reserve, so it will be clear to the community what is going in, what is going out, and what work we're doing to maintain and repair those revetment walls. Thank you.
Thank you for that, because last time it was very much an issue with the community that they didn't feel there was transparency with it being collected in their rates. So I would like further chats with the Raby Bay Association to make sure that clarity is... I mean, I know back then it was being taken out and put in the reserve, but I would like certainty given to the Raby Bay people on that process. Thank you. 5.5, the environment separate charge. That's increased by $6.48, and I don't think anyone in Redlands, with our love of the community, will begrudge paying that. It's actually only just got back to what we were paying around 2011-12. And Council's also decided to use these funds, you know, for capital purchases of land, which hopefully might be part of the Commonwealth land if we twist enough arms. And we've also used it to purchase recent properties which the community will enjoy going into the future. And that is all part of keeping Redlands naturally wonderful, which recently was a highlighted passionate desire of our community yet again. 5.6, the landfill remediation special charge. Now, this isn't a sexy part of council, so I thought I'd actually mention it for once, because quite often the offices in our waste area get a little bit overlooked. No one seems to quite understand the importance of their work. But since I've been in here, it has certainly been highlighted to me. And going forward, They are going to play a huge part because waste is an increasing issue. And this landfill remediation separate charge, it's actually to pay for the monitoring and remediation of our closed landfills, which we've got quite a few in our city, probably more than a lot of other neighbouring councils. So even though it mightn't be sexy, it actually plays a major part in decreasing environmental hazards, which we could have in our waterways, etc., with leachate getting into it and other toxins. So I'd just like to commend that dedicated waste team and just make sure they realise they're not overlooked. The SES 5.7, the SES in Redlands is an amazing team. The revenue raised from this levy will go to fund the ongoing costs of maintaining the Redlands SES to an appropriate level of readiness, the controller's salary, admin costs and the purchase of critical equipment. And the Mayor being the Chair and myself of Recovery, we've actually seen very close up the amount of work that these volunteers and the controller does. And it's a vital service that assists across the whole of Redlands, and I think every Redlander can be proud of our very quick and well-resourced volunteer emergency services. I'll then go down to 5.10, which is the adoption of budget estimates and fixing of rates and charges. And like I said before, there are many and varied aspects of any budget, and this is no change on this one. I'd just like to mention the CAPEX. It is a realistic and deliverable CAPEX. We continue to have carryover projects, which I don't ever think is sustainable because it just puts more pressure on that next year. This year, the officers have worked extremely hard and they have brought in a deliverable capital works program. I'm looking forward to various projects across the city because we get to see everything that's going in and there's some exciting things in all areas. And of course, in my own area, I'm very happy for some of the projects that are not only going to improve livability, but they're also going to increase economic growth in my local business areas. One project that didn't get up was the Tourist Information Centre, but I haven't stopped harping on about that because I think it's vital with our new branding. To get a tourist information centre in Cleveland near the train station. If you ever go for a walk in that area on a Sunday morning, there's always someone getting off the train and asking for information on how to get somewhere. So that's one project. Be warned, officers, that I'm going to keep harping on about, and I think I've got the Mayor's support on that one. I think we're going to be a bit of a team on that one. Also, cameras. I would have liked to have seen some money for cameras, but we haven't had the policy brought to us yet. So hopefully when that happens, we'll be able to find some money for that. Pensioner concessions seems to be, as always, a topic of interest. We have maintained it, and also due to the increase of pensioners in our city, even though we've maintained the amount, the actual cost to council is an extra $70,000 this year. So it might look like it hasn't been an increase, but it actually has been an increase of $70,000. There's been change to Sovereign Lake Residence Levy, which acknowledges the increased use of this area of the whole of city, and it also considers the views of the community panel. And there's changes to the Raby Bay levies, which have occurred also due to the community panel and the increased use, and also advice such as the officers have explained earlier. These were tough decisions, and that I want to assure everybody, again, there was a lot of deliberation and then more deliberation and probably a little bit more deliberation on these topics. And if anyone has got questions or wants further clarification, can you please come to someone in council and not Facebook regarding those ones? Then I go back to the operational plan, which is always an exciting one, and I commend the officers on this one because they have found new processes and efficiencies in lots of areas. And the operational plan is the warm and fuzzy one, where it shows council's commitment quite thoroughly to social issues with our environment and everything. And then Murray Elliott is giving me the wind-up, so I'll quickly jump to the financial strategy.
That's okay, Councillor. I'm chairing the meeting, not Councillor Elliott.
I'm seeing. The financial strategy is a really important document, And it's, you mightn't remember, but last year I actually commented that I was a bit concerned about stretched targets that were in there. And at this point of time, I'd really like to commend the CEO and the ELT for their diligence in absolutely obtaining more clarity about deliverability, efficiencies and good governance, which has decreased the predicted deficit of $11 million to $2 million throughout the year. And before last year's budget, I went to each of the offices of ELT and I said how concerned I was with these stretch targets. And now I have to say thank you for your assistance last year, which then let me vote for the budget, and you've proven yourselves. It's been commendable that you've been able to do this turnaround in processes. And we're always going to have a rates revenue increase when with growth and everything else. But I've got full confidence going forward with the changes that have been made around the efficiencies and the processes. So thank you to all of you for that support that you give us delivering to our community.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, thanks to my colleagues and the officers for the process this year. It's been a treat as always, and we certainly all take it very seriously. On balance, I'm pretty content and satisfied with this year's budget. Don't agree with everything, of course, but none of us do. I raise my rating to pretty pleased and encouraged when I look at the long-term financial sustainability, though, and the fairness and equity that this council is trying to bring to underpin all its decisions. So while an annual budget is a very important moment in time, it does directly affect all of us that live here, informing part of our family budgets, but also the immediate livability of the area for the families. And today's budget certainly holds some important decisions, and I'll highlight some of those later. But I'd just like to spend a little bit more time on the longer-term view, which we review every year as part of this process. The 10-year financial strategy, the debt policies. If an annual budget is more of the low-beam view, then a 10-year financial strategy is more the high-beam view, the look ahead. It's at the back of the book, but maybe it should be at the front. In terms of that's what will make a difference over the long term in the cities. So the over-horizon planning in a world that is tending to be dominated by the short-term interests, so I think that's worth highlighting. It doesn't generally make the headlines in the paper or dominate the dinner table talk, and maybe it should. That's what we really should be looking at. So please take the time to read those longer-term documents, revenue and expenditure management, the asset management, which now stands at something like $2.4 billion, I think I saw, a large number, a big number, and also the commercial opportunities that are highlighted in the back of the budget book as well. So on to this year's budget. The Mayor's highlighted some of the items that are certainly out of our control and some that are unexpected, so I won't delve into those. But our solid underlying financial strategy and overall health of the organisation mitigates these impacts. So if it was a car, we get a few dings, but it never gets written off. We just keep going. I trust the budget this year will represent good value for money for your family. My family consists of four separate property-owning ratepayers. We all expect good value for money and the efficient running of the council itself, so we get it. The budget is certainly an honest presentation of the years ahead requirements. We've continued to repair our rates, fees and charges, looking at a very principle-based approach. And even that, these changes by evolution rather than revolution, if you like, are sound for the year ahead, but also set up this council and future councils, if they choose to continue with it, for an easier and more defensible and more clear process of raising revenue, which sadly we have to do. No one likes a bill, but these are bills we have to have. I acknowledge that in this year's budget there'll be individual winners and losers, and there'll be plenty of opportunity for everyone in the community to analyse case by case what happens, so please come and see us. Today's not the end, it's the beginning. Citywide livability basics are really important and come at a cost. We tend to let them go through to the keeper and just expect them, but 22.87 million for roads, big number. $6.26 million for water, wastewater and waste. Turn off the tap or not flush your toilet and see what happens. These are big numbers, and but it's just year in, year out, we keep delivering. $6.4 million for paths, bikeways, and sadly in some ways for car parks, but for transport, active transport methods. $4.1 million spending on open space. Terrific. Bring it into my local division for a minute, and the capital spending is essentially the new shiny toys. So let's make sure they're actually things that we need. They incur a cost up front, but also ongoing care and maintenance. So in my division, there's $500,000 for the station master's cottage being made fit for purpose for community use. RPAC has some significant spending, including $300,000 just for a wonderful audio system. There are actually both quite citywide benefits there as well. There's a new shower facility at Point Headland Park, upgrades to the Amity Point landside facilities near the boat ramp. Donald Simpson Centre, $90,000 for air conditioning upgrades. So there's just a few things happening in my division. Some of the disappointments for me in the capital expenditure. The rollovers, which I understand why they happen, and we're trying to deliver not necessarily more, but a suitable amount of capital expenditure. But Ron Stark Oval recreation facilities were delayed and will get rolled over, but they're still coming. The Amity Point Road ceiling of some $400,000 was again delayed and will be rolled over, perhaps as much as a further year down the track. Disappointing, but I understand they're still coming and reassure the community of that. Point Lookout Sewer. Those on the mainland that have sewerage don't tend to think of this, but on the island, several of our islands, we haven't quite rolled things out. $2.35 million hasn't quite made the budget line this year, but that needs to progress as soon as possible. And also around the Cleveland CBD, I believe that there needs to be more a closer look at the CBD master plan in light of our capital expenditure and indeed recent land acquisitions. Our civic heart deserves a fresh look and indeed a proper budget, in my opinion. Things like the innovation centre that's proposed, the visitor information centre, those things could be wonderful catalysts for our CBD as well. Separate charges, again, I love a transparent bill, and the environmental separate charge is certainly one of those. It's raised. I think it's an easy sell for our recreational open space land. I want to highlight things like the maintenance of our tracks and trails, where these aren't... open space and recreation areas or conservation areas aren't just to look at. I love enjoying them, and our tracks and trails and the maintenance involved in that, such as in Scribbly Gums and Redlands Track Park, that comes at an expense. And also bushland and fire management on North Stradbroke Island, protecting wildlife, property and tourism infrastructure. All of this can also come of our environment separate charge. The SES charge raises, but again, the human benefits of this organisation and the wonderful work they do, protecting, again, life and limb on from fires on North Stradbroke Island, coastal erosion and flooding, whether at Raby Bay or Cleveland Point, or roofs are lost in suburban Cleveland, then having a well-functioning and resourced SES and associated services saves our city. We're better prepared, faster to respond, and faster to recover. Big ticket item for today, the differential rating categories for Raby Bay. Certainly a significant and in somewhat unexpected change in what's an emotive and a complex topic. It's not what I expected or indeed my community had wanted, but I'm actually so proud of the Raby Bay community over the last 12 months and council, how they've worked together on their maturing relationship. And once the dust settles on this initial decision, I'm sure we'll march forward from here. There will be some real wins and some genuine losses around that community. Just wanted to highlight some of the key points though for now, because it is a complex matter. One of the core wins for the community is that council still manages revetment revetment wall repairs. We haven't walked away in the colloquial term, and that was so critical to the community. Council are still in the game paying for their own revetment walls, of course, 10%, which is slightly above what council actually owns or the general community owns. Now, the good win for the whole community is that council are now paying for the canal cleaning and dredging. This recognises the wider community use, which was very important to the Raby Bay community as well. And importantly, and we've discussed it briefly today, these funds will be quarantined in a reserve, will be as transparent as they've ever been, and every cent will be accounted for and spent. So it's actually a few wins. There is too much detail to go into this now, so just encourage my Raby Bay community to get in touch, and we'll be booking a meeting so that we can analyse all the detail into the weeks ahead. So, while I've not won every battle in these deliberations, I will be supporting every item in the budget to show the unity and keep our city running and show the unity around this room. So, with that, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll be brief. Councillor Boglari and Councillor Mitchell have highlighted some very attractive wins and goals that we've achieved as a citywide group. I think we've got a well-balanced council here. I'd just like to thank all the departments within the organisation who have worked hard with us to explain and step us through the process of formatting this budget, being able to bring it forward today. I know in the future for this budget, I've got some fairly significant projects coming forward, and some of those projects have already started. Things like the Big Thornlands Area Park, for example, that's pushing along right now with stage one, and hopefully we'll get stage two underway as well. We've had purchases of conservation land where that's being regenerated, so it'll be turned into public use land. We've had major tree plantings going on. There's cycleways that have been built. Basically, every councillor here has worked very hard to achieve the best possible outcomes for the city as a whole. And my division has had a lot of wins. We've had park upgrades, etc., right through the area. Moving forward, the long and short of it is that if you need to know anything, come to us, not Facebook. Like Councillor Boglari has stated previously. We'll have the facts, and we work quite tirelessly to get the best possible outcomes for the city in these budgets. And again, I'd just like to say thank you to the Mayor, the CEO and his team, and all my colleagues for working very hard to bring what is the best possible outcome we have today. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Golay. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'd like to congratulate the CEO and the ELT for the work they've done this year. I've worked under four CEOs, and I'd have to say I believe that Andrew Chesterman has been the best one that I've worked under, and this team. And that's underpinned by a very dedicated team of officers. It's right down to our field officers, our customer service, project delivery, our open space, our road guys. Those guys are all dedicated, and every time I have an inquiry, those guys, they'll meet with you, they'll explain the situation. And as Councillor Mitchell pointed out, you don't always get what you want. But communication is the key. We have a limited amount of revenue that we can spend, and I think it's been quite fairly spread across the city. In my division next year, I'm glad that operational funding is available for the Victoria Point local development plan consultation, which council supported just earlier this year. The Coochie Mother shoreline erosion management plan continues. The integrated weed management plan on Coochie Mother, which is a great step. We're eradicating some serious weeds around the golf club over there, which is Catsclaw, which was highlighted in the 2004 lands management plan. Thompson Beach renewal is ongoing, excuse me. The Cascade Gardens, which is basically the entrance to my division, is going to be upgraded starting this year and being rolling out over the next few years. Master Plans Avenue that the Mayor alluded to will be done this financial year, which is a revetment wall replacement as well as footpath widening. Really widely used area in our part of the city with our coastline. The Wilson Esplanade will get some revetment wall upgrades this year. Regionally, Zane and people like Zane and Gary Fatinas do a brilliant job with RPAC. The art galleries, the community engagement team are amazing. Hindman Road Precinct regionally is coming online, which we're all excited about. Bayview Conservation Area, extremely well done by officers. Moreton Bay Cycleway is stalled a little bit in my area, but there's massive costs involved there, which hopefully we can get some state funding for. And that's another thing we're doing with funding. I've never seen council so proactive in trying to get grants outside council to help fund these projects. So I think probably this last 12 months, I've seen more done in this Sydney than I ever have, and I'm proud to be part of this council and part of this team, so thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. A lot's being said, so I'm going to just try and talk about perhaps some things that haven't been said, and I'll keep it as brief as possible. As with all budgets, we have the devil's in the detail to ensure that we continue delivering the business-as-usual activities of council and also providing additional infrastructure and services to the community and meeting those expectations of the community whilst also trying to prevent unnecessary rate increases. That's a hard thing to deliver. As a council striving to work towards and maintain a budgetary surplus, it makes it very hard to provide all things to all people. I'm, like Councillor Boglary, I'm very quietly confident, I suppose, that with the savings that the officers have achieved year on year out, that this small deficit could be overtaken. But we are going to be presented with challenges on the way through and more demands to spend on things that we don't know are coming around the corner. This budget has probably been more difficult in some ways in previous years for councillors because we've had to constrain our community infrastructure funding for our divisions. And we took the right step, however, to make sure that we're fiscally secure as a council. But this year we've got a great capital works project program across the city, and for the Southern Moreton Bay Islands, I'm pleased to confirm that contested TransLink levy has only two more quarters to run, and at the termination of that levy, that'll bring about some much needed financial respite for the residents and the ratepayers on the islands. The levy, however, ensured that a TransLink service was not only delivered to the islands, but it's also brought about a material shift in responsibility for marine assets. Now, the Russell Island jetty is due for replacement, and now that's being fully funded by the state government, and that has relieved council of a co-funding contribution. And that's significant where we have transit, we brought it for the community, which is a benefit for the community, but that responsibility has shifted, and that creates some lessens the burden on council for some infrastructure. And that the budget process also gave us a focus on what costs are councillors and what costs should be the state's. And we've come to an agreed position that the state should be responsible for marine infrastructure and the council for landside infrastructure throughout the city. And that's going to set the tone for future marine capital works. And there will be, though, some future vigorous debates with the state government over not only that responsibility, but other areas in which council funds, which is really that we believe should be a state responsibility. The cost of water paid to the state government will continue to have an adverse impact on our residents. There are aspects of this budget that I would like to have changed. However, it's been a collective negotiation process and everyone gets a mix of wins and losses. I think the allocation of $3.1 million to Wynnum Creek is a good win, and it's not just a good win for my division, I think it's a good win for the whole of the city, because that could be a great transgenerational project that's going to deliver benefits across the city. So as I've done every year in, year out, I'll be supporting the budget. I thank the officers for their hard work in putting it together, all the councillors for, I suppose, being reasonable as much as possible with each other when we try and fight for different things, and I think we've come to an overall good outcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I think we've only lost Councillor Hughes in the budget process. Thanks very much. I'll be Division 7 centric, as I usually am, while looking after the whole of the city's needs as well. This is a really good budget. I think it's a Rolling Stones song. You may not get what you want, but you get what you need. And I look forward this year to my community. The Wynborne Road Park will be upgraded, a significant upgrade, replacing 99.9% of the furniture in that park. Dave Parr Park will be a significant upgrade in Cumberland Drive. I look forward to that. They're ready to go. Road resurfacing might only be six roads, but in, when you're doing those in Ferntree Park, there's significant roads, and I look forward to that. The whole of city in Vegescapes, visitor centre extension and upgrade stage three. It's in my division, but certainly it's a cross the city project. I look forward to that. I especially look forward to the staff getting their new quarters and things like that. Working in Odonga, you don't see us in Odonga, and I look forward to that upgrade. My street tree planting will continue with a permitting. That's really good. That's been taken up well. And also on the development front in Kinross Road, we look forward to a new park midstream of Kinross Road. So for my community, it's a really good budget, and I look forward to the implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Now, Councillor Hughes, are you still with us?
Thank you, Mayor.
Would you like me to read out your document that you sent through?
Yes. Firstly, my sincere apologies that I'm not there in person. I am unwell, and I would be greatly appreciative if you could read out my speech for me. Thank you. I had it prepared nearly a week ago, and I would like to share. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Hughes. So on behalf of Councillor Hughes, she's provided me with a page, so I'll read that on her behalf. She starts with, thank you, Mayor. She too would like to take the opportunity to thank our CFO, Deborah Corbett-Hall, for her leadership, strength, support, and most importantly, her delightful sense of humour, which one needs when you're a CFO, as she guided us through this gruelling budget process. I have found it a huge responsibility to again contribute to deliver a progressive and affordable budget, and the rate notice that we all know is important, but we all dread. As a councillor for Division 8 and responsible for the rubbish capital of the city, I don't think she means that. I think that's just a beautiful part of the city that deals with rubbish, I think is what she means, Birkdale Transfer Station. I would like to highlight the landfill remediation separate charge that has been increased this coming year by $1.92 per annum. It has gone up from $41.96 to $43.88. You may find that insignificant, which would be fantastic, but I feel that it emphasises the levels of scrutiny that we go into in bringing down a budget. We literally counted the cents. The landfill remediation separate charge is a levy that Council has determined the community will benefit from the monitoring and remediation of all closed landfills to prevent environmental harm. And with 28 sites across the city in this program, there you go, Councillor Boglari, she's got the number there for you, 28 sites across the city, including many sporting facilities enjoyed by thousands of residents each week, the significance of this program cannot be undervalued or overemphasised. With regard to the Judy Holt Park site, the ongoing projects including the capping of the Eastern and Western Cricket Fields and Eastern Batter, the construction of a new leachate collection trench around the Northern Batters and building a new pump station with connection to sewer, plus the addition of capping and surface water improvements, these projects that will be highly anticipated, and Muddy's Rugby are grateful that works will be completed for them in the off-season. I work closely with our GM of Infrastructure and Operations, Peter Best, and I thank him for his continued support. He regularly takes the time to gather information and offers me regular briefings across his portfolio. I appreciate your attention to detail, especially your team that had undertaken to work with my residents who suffered ongoing flooding in Alexandra Hills. It's been a testament to Council, 100% plus of positive and thankful feedback, relief and peace of mind for the works completed in such a professional manner. That budget allocations were available has been and continues to be acknowledged widely. A lot has already been said about the Canal and Lake special charges and levy, and I do not want to talk about the decisions made going forward. However, I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to the community as a whole for their passion and engagement with this damn difficult and emotive issue. The many emails with differing opinions were gratefully received by myself. It was so valuable to be able to read and share your thoughts. Redlands City Council subsidiary, Redlands Investment Corporation, acquired 20,209 square metre property at 521 Old Cleveland Road East, Birkdale from Council in January 2016. Redlands Investment Corporation is working on plans to build a high-quality two-storey townhouse development on the top end of the block bordering Old Cleveland Road East and Randall Road, Birkdale. The remaining land is a dedicated conservation area and will remain undeveloped. Redlands Investment Corporation has engaged environmental consultants to undertake a koala tree offsetting and vegetation rehabilitation program, which will involve planting new koala trees and rejuvenating the conservation area during the site. The development is expected to commence in the first half of the 2018-19 financial year and will be similar to Redlands Investment Corporation's recently completed Ava terrace townhouses development in Alexandra Hills. Is that fine, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm so appreciative, Ta.
No worries. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I won't repeat what's been said already, and I agree with most of what has been said. I would like to thank you very much for bringing down your budget, and it's a very challenging collaborative process bringing down a budget, and it's something that the Mayor must present, but our Mayor particularly does her absolute best to try to take into consideration all of the concerns of the councillors and to balance those concerns against the overall organisation concerns and the greater needs of the city, and it's a really tough job, and you've done very well, so thank you very much. I'd also like to thank the ELT, and as was mentioned, Deb does have a fantastic sense of humour, and it, as someone who comes to financial matters finding them quite dry, it's very good to have that, someone so enthusiastic about those matters. And to all the other members of the ELT, we're challenging sometimes, and you all do an amazing job, and we're very grateful for it. I won't go division centric with this. The budget is for the whole of the city, and there are many things, as has been mentioned, that we are all happy or less happy about with regard to the things that make the cut or don't make the cut, infrastructure wise. I am happy with some of the things that are coming into my area. I'm looking very much forward to the upgrades for parks in Siena and Hardwood in Mount Cotton, and also the continuing upgrade to the Wynnum Creek Parkland in this particular budget for my division. There's an upgrade to the Under Sevens playground in Denham Boulevard. And of course, for the whole of the city, and particularly for Redland Bay, which is a shared responsibility for Councillor Edwards and I, the Wynnum Creek plan moving forward and the budget there to start progressing things is particularly important and pleasing, and it is for the whole city, but it is particularly important to the people of Redland Bay. Getting a great improvement there over a longer term will be really, as has been said, an intergenerational improvement, and so worth our dedication to it. With regard to the individual matters that will come forward in the budget shortly, item 5.4 speaks to the various rating categories. I won't say a great deal about that. I, like other councillors, was challenged by the idea of having the differential rating category for Raby Bay and canal areas. And I think that everybody's worked very hard to come up with the best possible solution in that regard. So it's something that we have to communicate well, I think. I'm fully supportive of the council continuing to support the residents with regard to a scheme to ensure revetment wall repairs. I would prefer the residents who benefit from canals also contributed to the canal maintenance. That is not something that I support. And so I don't agree with the council deciding that a canal is equivalent to a road and having that cost fully covered by the rest of the community. I think that should have been a shared cost, but that will go on, and I'm sure councils in the future will consider that further. As I have done every year, I'll continue to contest the idea that it's appropriate to have a different residential rating charge for rental properties and vacant land. I don't accept the justifications that are put forward to support that rating category, and that's just a basic belief. We have matters with the 5.7, the SES charge, and 5.9, the Rural Fire Services Levy charge. We have a fantastic emergency services deliverable relationship between the SES and council, and this is something that I fully support, and I look forward to us reviewing that further with the, how we can continue to improve our emergency services in the future. With that, I will call my 5 minutes and say thank you very much, everybody, and look forward to the year ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, it's a bit hard when you go around the room this way. It's probably very little to be said. Everything I said has been, so I've just made some notes and I'll wing it. As has been said to our executive leadership group, and particular to our CFO, Deborah Corbett-Hall, fantastic process again this year, very thorough, and thank you for everything. Deb's a fantastic CFO, and probably one of the youngest CFOs in Australia, but she's just very on the ball and she's fantastic, does a great job. This is my 7th budget now in council. I remember one of our first workshops in 2012. We discussed debt levels. Our current debt level was almost half of what it was in 2012. Our cash holdings are over double what they were at the time now. So long-term planning, we're in a great position to be in. Our road renewals, I remember one of our workshops officers mentioning that we're $100 million behind on our maintenance program on our roads. So we brought in our accelerated road program, and we're really seeing that out there in the community. Certainly in Palabar again this year, I've seen a heap of roads resurfaced, and in the coming year, I know of a fairly significant area down through Merrittdale Park, which is all being resurfaced as well. So we're seeing that out there. Holland Crescent's just been done. In the last couple of years, School Road, Ney Road, Wentworth Drive, some really significant roads. So we're really seeing the benefit of that. And again, you know, it's nearly $23 million all up for our road program this year. Park upgrades. Up till a couple of years ago, I don't think I had a park in Capalabar that was less than 15, 20 years old. This current financial year, I've seen a number of park upgrades down through there. And it's great to not see just galvanised iron swings. We're seeing a bit more colour. That's terrific. Glad to say, again, this coming year, some great park renewals. Again, on Wentworth Drive Park, which is a very big park in my patch, and there's a bit of work going on in there, all new equipment down the regional park as well, some new stuff going on down in there. Willard Farm, I'm glad to see that being brought into the budget. It wasn't originally, but we've brought that in. It's in my patch, and look, I'll be the first to say I wasn't particularly supportive of buying that farm and spending that much money on an old derelict building, but I've got to say I would much rather I'd much rather see the works get done. At the moment, it just looks like a tinderbox ready to go up. So I look forward to seeing that work progress and being something that we can actually be proud of, and every time someone drives past, they can say, oh, look, here's Willard's farm. That looks a bit of a right. So I look forward to that work happening. State government works, or state government have an effect on our budget every year, and that's what continues to be a real concern. And I don't think we do enough, or I don't know how much more we can do to get that message out there about how much the state government impacts on our rates. Things like the bulk water charges. Again, we're 7.3% was it increased this year again, and forecast for about 7 and about the same for the next 3 years. So that's going to continue to have an impact in the coming years. At the same time, I've got a copy as I do every year, I ask for a comparison this financial year rates notice compared to next year's. And next year, this in this budget, water access fee, council charge, 0% gross. Wastewater charge, fixed cost, 0% growth. Water consumption, the retail arm, 0% growth. We're capping our charges to try to reduce the impact on residents for the state government increases. We can't sustain that. That's not sustainable. At some point, we're going to have to increase our charges as well. And in that case, the ratepayers are going to be double hit. Acknowledge we're trying to do as much as we can at the moment, but that's not sustainable. It just can't happen forever. The waste levy, state government waste levy has impacted ratepayers this year. Things like mosquito spraying, that continues to be a problem and a bugbear for a couple of us in this room. We spend in proximity of $800,000 a year spraying mosquitoes around our coastal areas, predominantly on state government owned land. and we bear that cost. State government don't contribute to that. So these are bugbears that have been happening for the last few years, and we continue to cop the flak on that when residents get their first rate notice after we hand this down, and they come to us. We need to be able to get that message out there a little bit stronger, I think. Canal maintenance. This is going to have a little impact across the board for ratepayers. I've used my own place as an example. I've got to be able to justify why we're going to be paying for canal maintenance to my ratepayers. Now, I live on a property with the back's on a council reserve with about a 5-foot retaining wall. The council don't maintain that wall, that retaining wall. If it fails, the cost is totally on myself. The retaining walls in Raby Bay will be at ratepayers' cost, but they're protected by by our reserve, so that's good. But the council certainly does come through and they spray weeds when I call them. They come through and they clean up trees, they pick up rubbish, they do things through the council reserve, and really in the canals we should be doing that same level of service through there as well. So I can kind of justify that. I've just got to be able to send that out to my message. What else? What any other notes that I make down? That's really about it. Overall, look, I think it's fairly conservative budget. It's nothing in there particularly exciting that I'm going to jump up and down about. I would love to have seen the water park in there. I would love to have seen a mega solar farm, which I raised a motion for about 3 years ago. It still hasn't really happened. But I think it's fairly conservative budget, and I think it's okay. With that, I'll put the motion.
No, you can't put the motion because we've actually suspended standing orders. Thank you. Councillor Bishop.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. Absolutely acknowledge our executive leadership team who are working very consistently with very clear parameters, and the guidance that they give us makes our job, and I would consider that we are the navigators and they are the captains of a ship that has a crew of an entire building full of officers and a city who are our passengers, and we're all going on that journey. And I think this budget does something important, and it does a reset of an agenda, which is the issue relating to the canal lake maintenance management and cleaning. And there are some people who will be cheering and others who will be jeering at that change. It is a situation that I believe is a principle-based choice, and it is one that is effectively unavoidable. It is one of those situations that I think I will acknowledge that there's been a great deal of many, many, many years of consternation, discussion, political views, and I want to acknowledge in the room the President of the Aquatic Paradise Residents Association's chair and their long-suffering secretary, who has gone through every single discussion, decision for many, many years. And I think this brings partly to a conclusion, something that the other councillors have referred to. I do believe that that's probably the most outstanding issue that will affect residents across this city. And for that reason, I want it to be known that I've already raised with officers some suggestions going forward about ways that residents who do enjoy the benefit of living on those canal and lake areas and do have watercraft and use that on a much more regular basis than the general community. I think it is important that ongoing discussions are had in order to identify how the appropriate use may be able to be shared and borne by those particular residents. That's a subject to a different discussion, because today we are narrowing down a whole world of decisions into a binary. Do we support this budget or not? If we don't, the city will effectively, within 3 months, grind to a halt. If we don't get the hands in the air to say this budget can proceed, then we wouldn't be able to function, because we are not actually a commercial business We don't get revenue from elsewhere. We do get in part, but 30.7% comes from rates, charges, and that is what we will be making our decision about, and we'll be effectively creating a law in a few moments' time that will say, officers, you can charge the residents of this city to go on this journey with this budget. There are a few points that I'd like to make, if I may, relating to across the city. Going forward, I think it's very important that we look at the equitable, fair and reasonable allocation of capital expenditure and operational across the city, and that in the future capital infrastructure plan, that the citywide allocation of funds looks at the various jobs that are needed and addresses any anomalies and makes sure that residents across the city do enjoy a fair and equitable access to those things. I believe that it's very important going forward that we embrace the views of the passengers, the residents of this city, the crew, who are our executive officers, led by the captain and his team. The executive leadership team need the guidance from our passengers about where they're going, and we are the representatives as the navigators for what that direction should be. We've been given some very clear guidance through the community consultation panel about faith and trust in a well-managed process that gives increasing information about what our community wants and needs. As we are looking at the $289 million allocation expenditure, $289 million budget this year, the more information we have from our residents, the more we can navigate safe waters in a clear manner. I encourage us to look at asset-based community development, asking our residents to come with us on the journey, not just come with us, but to actually help decide what they believe is important in future. When it comes to things like the previously mentioned Birkdale Commonwealth lands, it will be important that we see that environmental issues and heritage matters are considered, mapped, managed in perpetuity on behalf of our residents. And I think that that will be critical to any good governance from Redland City Council's perspective going forward. And I hope that that's forthcoming. I'd like to acknowledge also the amazing work that is not acknowledged in this report, which is the volunteer contribution of all the people in our city who roll up their sleeves and do probably some of the most heavy lifting. These volunteers are people who choose to get together on weekends every week at committees, making sandwiches and doing sausage sizzles. It's those residents who are the voice and the eyes and the ears that give us a leg up and help us to understand what matters to them. I'll just finish by saying thank you very much again to the officers. I will continue discussion with members of my community about the way forward, and I would also just like us as councillors, there's one particular issue that I think has been outstanding for many, many years. It's the foreshore erosion management of Queen's Esplanade that is currently languishing and is not, that plan is not finalised. I would like all of us to look at how that can be addressed and delivered along in line with community expectations. Every year that I've asked for that to be looked at, it's been put off and put off and put off, and we're now in a situation where we are losing infrastructure, we've put down sandbags, we've done consultation, and we're behind. I would like us to move forward in implementing some of the consulted views and combining that into a plan that will deliver an important bit of infrastructure for the sake of the residents in our area. Thank you very much, and well done to everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. But just before I ask us to resume our meeting procedures, could I just maybe just highlight a couple of things that are, that personally, you know, I share many of the concerns and of the challenges that we have. I refer to Councillor Boglari's concern about differential rates for our Raby Bay community, and something that we talked about and discussed probably more than any other topic virtually in this budget. And I do note that we had a couple of choices, and this choice is one that gives an insurance policy that walls will be protected and repaired in Raby Bay. One of our other challenges, and we've heard about the state bulk water rates that come to us, the bulk water charges, and one of the differences we have here in Redlands compared to some of our neighbours in Brisbane, Moreton, similar to the issues that they have probably in Logan and on the Gold Coast, is that we don't belong to a big utility, and so our charges actually go out with our rates. And often when residents see the bottom line, they think it's our charge. That is always a challenge for us. So we do try to highlight the fact that some of these charges on our rates bill aren't ours, and we're just passing them on. And there are also things such as the Rural Fire Brigade levy, etc., that also does that. It remains a challenge, and it's an education piece that I'm sure each and every one of us around the room try to articulate every time someone just looks at the bottom line. But a great percentage of people's rates bills today are their water charges. I'd also want to just reiterate what's been said many times in regards to the state government's responsibility to fund their infrastructure and the services that they are responsible for, right through from policing to public transport, and there's been many debates about that. And it was asked earlier by Cheryl from the paper in regards to, well, what happens if they make you pay that money. Well, I guess the message is that we continue to do the things that people in our community ask us to do on our Southern Moreton Bay Islands, for example, the green sealing of roads, the Wanham Creek development. If we are forced to pick up state's responsibility on other issues, those sorts of things become, at risk for us to be able to affordably keep the cost of living low in our city and deliver all those things. So that's food for thought, I think, as we move forward with those discussions with the state. I just also wanted to really reflect on some of the really important pages in our document. I'd really like to reiterate that we are responsible in managing, and I think very fiscally responsibly managing, the equity of our community. And Councillor Mitchell talked about it earlier. It's actually $2.7 billion worth of community equity that we manage. It's significant and it needs to be maintained, and that's what this budget certainly addresses. So on page 79, I just want to refer you to the Statement of Comprehensive Income. It just demonstrates that we have a balanced budget, that we have been fiscally responsible, and that really talks about a $36.7 million net result. Those figures should be encouraging to anyone who reads financial documents, and it hasn't just happened because we've got a great ELT. I want to congratulate the councillors who have also been very fiscally responsible. This is our third budget as a team, and I think as you said, Councillor Bishop, we have done some resets where it comes to a principle-based approach to our rating categories, whether it comes to some of our special charges. You can't just look at the success of this budget. You need to look at the success of all the budgets that preceded this. So I wanted to personally thank each and every one of you for working with us collaboratively to make that happen. I guess probably like to coin the phrase that Councillor Elliott raised, and perhaps the title for this budget will be a Rolling Stones budget, because and the old muse out of me wants to sing it, but I won't. But you know,
can I put the motion?
You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you find you get what you need. And with that, I think we can probably move back into the formal process of our meeting. If I can get a seconder and a mover and a seconder, Councillor Elliott moved. Councillor Gleeson seconded. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. All right, councillors. So now we head into our business. I have item 5.1, which is a statement of an estimated financial position of 2017-2018. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, just moving the statement of estimated financial position 2017-2018.
Any other comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.2, National Competition Policy Requirements for Significant Other Business Activities in 2018-19. Moved Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to move 5.2, National Competition Policy Requirements for Significant and Other Business Activities, 18-19.
Thank you. Any comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion
Aye.
Is carried unanimously. Item 5.3, the debt policy 2018-2019. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Happy just to move 5.3, debt policy 2018-19, policy 1838.
No other comments, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.4, categorisation of land for differential rating 2018-19. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, it's in there, Madam Mayor. I'll just ask that if the community's got anything, any questions about that, they can ask us. Sure. They don't have to get the information from Facebook.
Any that's a consistent message today. Any comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.5, Environment Separate Charge 2018-19. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
No, thank you. We said it all before.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just acknowledging that we do have a great deal of vegetation that some people love and others don't, but this is the price of managing that, and I just think it's important that we acknowledge that. That's all. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.6, landfill remediation, separate charge 2018-19. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, it's in the report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Any other comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. 5.7, the SES administration separate charge. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
Just reconfirm everybody's views previously.
Thank you. Any other comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.8, Southern Moreton Bay Islands TransLink Operations Special Charge 2018-19. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards? Any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.9, the Rural Fire Brigade Special Charge 2018-19, overall plan. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.10, the adoption of budgets, estimates and fixing of rates and charges 2018. Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to move it. Adoption of budget estimates and fixing of rates and charges for 2018 and 19.
Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Any comments, councillors? A comment?
I'd just like to give clarification on one point that Councillor Gleeson made previously when he referred to the 2012 financial situation. This council, he said how we have improved from that position, and I'll agree that we have, but we've also had water revenue returned, which has certainly helped us. I just don't like comparing one council's point of time
debt.
To now. Yes, yeah. He should have seen what the 2012 council came in with in 2008. So I think when you're comparing a council's point of time with another point of time, you should have clarity of all the impacts of that.
Would you like a response, Councillor
Bishop? It's fine. Councillor Bishop, comment?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I just think that this is where a lot of the rubber hits the road, and as residents find the detail in this, to keep in contact with councillors about where there might be changes, we'll need to pick up on whatever static there is and to make adjustments as we go. As I said before, we're making large decisions that will have impact, so let us know so we can finesse and make adjustments as where necessary if required. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Any other comments? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.11, adoption of the 2018-19 rate notice due dates. Move Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, thanks, Mayor.
Any other comments, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.12, the operational plan 2018-19. Moved Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Just thank the officers for their hard work and their diligence again with good governance and efficiencies found in this area.
Thanks, Councillor Boglari. I'll put the motion. If there's no other comments, those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.13, the financial strategy 2018. Move Councillor Golay, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Golay?
I'd just like to move item 5.13, financial strategy for 2018-2028. Nothing more. Thank you.
It's moved and seconded. Any other comments, councillors? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, Madam Mayor, just acknowledging that as we go forward, this is our 10-year plan. That's as far as council does plan out in terms of what we document and record here. As I mentioned before, I think one of the important things for councillors and for the organisation is that as we go forward, I would like to see down the track as we look at the Portfolio Management Office, which is the place where we capture all of this information and work out how the organisation is going to deal with it. One of the measures that I would like to see there is the community consultation to make sure that these are the things that the community need and that we've got some clarity from the ground up, asking that that is what they actually require. I believe that that's not one of the major measures that we use at this point, and I think we could bring some confidence to everyone in the city if we move in that direction. Thank you.
Comment, Councillor Gleeson.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. I just want to stand by what I said earlier and again say we are in a better financial position now than we were when I first came into council in 2012. And we're looking strong as far as the forecast goes.
Are there any other comments, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, that brings to an end budget deliberations for 2018-19, and we can probably get excited about starting our next round of deliberations for the next budget. Once again, before I close the meeting, thank you, CEO, ELT, CFO, in particular, all the team in finance, and I'd also once again like to thank my colleagues here. It has been a very strong, deliberative, sometimes confronting process, we now have a Rolling Stones budget, so thank you. I'm going to close the meeting, Councillor. Is that okay? Oh, sorry.
Will people be able to access this link, and will it be live now for people who want to tune in and find it?
It will be. Yes,
thank you.
I'm getting a nod.
If we could get that sent to councillors so that we can send that on,
sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
2 days? 2 days for it to be live?
2 days go live.
I'm getting a nod from the back. Budget book goes live today. All right, councillors, I close the meeting at 10:52 and look forward to seeing you back here at 1 o'clock. Thank you.